than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, as you can tell, the hustle and bustle of the holidays has finally worn me down, and I am not at 100% today, but this is the last Purple Friday preview of this season, so of course I'm not going to miss this one. Joining me, as always, to talk all things Raven, and he's probably got more of a voice than I do, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Why do you got to be the bearer of bad news? The last Purple Friday show of the season. Stop that, man.
Of the regular season. That's what I said.
excuse me. Clarifying that. Regular season. Nice qualification there. But I just can't believe it's already week 17, man. Where did the year go?
This has definitely been a quick season for the Ravens. It started off real hot, and then it got a little low when they went to London, and then they kind of warmed up again. It's the opposite of what we're feeling here in Baltimore with the weather, but it's been a crazy season. Lots of ups and downs. This has been a roller coaster.
It has, man. And just before we started recording the show, I just posted something very kind of cool, and it's, you know, kind of fun to think about, just, you know, knowing how resilient the Ravens have overcome these obstacles, man, with the ups and downs. But remember how bad it was when we were losing 16-6 to the Titans and we couldn't do anything on offense?
Yeah.
And we just had, you know, enough offense, but it wasn't enough. And then we lost by 3. And you're like, come on, guys, come on. And look at us now. I just looked at the playoff scenarios, and obviously the Ravens are a win to get in a scenario just like the Titans. But if the Titans and Ravens both get in, we're the 5 seed and they're the 6 seed. So it's funny how long ago they beat us in Tennessee, or we beat, you know, ourselves or let them win, basically, because we just couldn't do anything. And now we'll look at our offense now and look at the playoff positioning. We'd be a higher seed than them. So it's kind of funny how we got the last laugh and of overcoming those obstacles, man, of teams beating us. And, you know, the Ravens were maybe one defensive stop away from carrying on this win streak to 6 in a row, going into 7 in a row, running the table. But we'll let that, you know, slide to the wayside. But the Ravens have just been, man, they've been full steam ahead since then. And I'm proud of this team and the resilience of the franchise, man. But, you know, just mid-November, this team was under 500 a game, and now they're 9-6, 3 games above 500, can finish the season on a big high note. 10 wins, 6 losses, 10-6. Who'd have thunk it after all we've been through, man? That's just incredible.
And there's been some really bad losses, and there's also been some really absolute fantastic wins. You know,
and ugly wins, too.
How many shutouts did the Ravens have this season? I mean,
3.
Just an absolute crazy season, and it's a week-to-week league, and the Ravens definitely show that every single week. So let's just do a quick review, a little mini red-eye review of the Ravens-Colts indie game. I was in the car driving down to the beach, so I was listening to the game. I didn't get to see any of it. But
so how was that? Like, because I always watch the games, whether in person or, you know, on TV. So you got to listen to the call on the radio. What's that like? Like, I know it's, you want to see the visuals part of the game, but, you know, do you still get the same enthusiasm when Sandusky's calling the game? Do you still feel like you're part of it? Or is it kind of like, you know, mundane and dry, like, I'd rather watch it? Like, how is the radio broadcast?
You know, it's kind of funny. If there was a way I could sync up watching it on TV and then listening to Jerry Sandusky's broadcast, I would. Because he definitely is more personal than the NBC or NFL guys that are doing the national broadcast. He's got more information about the team. So,
of course, he follows them beat the beat.
Yeah, and if you remember at the beginning of the season when Pitta was his co-host, and Eric Weddle got his first interception of the season or something, and Pitta said, you know why he got that? He started wearing gloves. He came to the Ravens, and we talked him into wearing gloves. you're not going to hear that anywhere else, you know? So the radio broadcast, but it's more personal, so it's nice to hear that. Like, we're going to touch on the Brashad Perryman and people cheering for him or whatever. They brought that up on the radio and how that was a big part of the fans that were still there doing that. So, I mean, you don't get those little, like, personal intricate touches that you do watching it just on TV with a national broadcast team.
And I feel like, you know, longer the days of that, I loved hearing the old school calls of Garceau back in our 2000 playoff days. And Scott Garceau, man, he's a legend here in Baltimore media. And man, I miss him and Tom Addy doing the games back then. But, you know, Sandusky still got his stamp on the thing in his haze in the barn, you know, phrase at the end of the wins. And, you know, who can forget his infamous haze in the barn? Or, you know, Ravens are going to the Super Bowl when we beat the Patriots in the AFC title game, and who the Hayes in the bar and the Ravens are Super Bowl champions, and the enthusiasm he brings, and yeah, he's very fitting. And I've always just wanted to understand that, but you're right. If there's a way now, it's kind of tough because of live football, and I think you could probably do it at the game. I see a lot of, you know, some fans do actually wear headsets and they're listening to the radio feed even while they're at the game, which is weird. I feel like if you're at the game, you got to hear the experience. But it's hard with HDTV now with the delays in TV. It's really hard to get the radio feed to sync up to the live feed because, you know, of the game, because you're going to probably hear the delay or hear a play or two either before or after, so, or see it. So I've always wanted to pick your brain about that because I know a lot of times you always have to watch the game recorded and blackout social media so you don't have to hear what happened, and you're always on the go. It's like night and day with us. Me, I'm all like, not saying you're not all in, Brandon, by any chance, because, you know, you're much of the Ravens as I do, but it's like, you're always like doing stuff, like whether you have to work or, you know, you're doing vacations and listening in the car and driving, like, you know, you missed the Browns game because you did the Star Wars team. So it's always like you're getting, like, I'm getting a different perspective from your vantage point, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one who can sit still for long periods of time. So I am.
Well, I don't sit still watching the game, as you know.
I'm a multitasker. You know, I'm doing multiple things at multiple times. So, like, yeah, you know, I would love to have watched the Indy game, but, you know, I wanted to go to the beach for the holidays. So I knew 3 hours was going to be in the car. So I figured, hey, you know, why not listen to the Ravens game? And then the Caps were up against the Vegas Golden Knights right after. So I listened to that afterwards. But, you know, syncing up your TV and the radio, the Caps, I mean, it's difficult. I've done it, though, because the Caps are on TuneIn, and you can have your TuneIn hook up to your Amazon Echo, and you just kind of have to play with, like, pausing the TV, waiting for the radio to catch up, hitting play at the right time.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
Because when it's Penguins Capitals, and it's a national broadcast, I know that they are going to favor the Penguins, and I can't stand Pierre Maguire, so I just mute the TV, and then I listen to John Walton with the Caps, and
there you go.
I get more of a fair broadcast. But let's talk a little bit about this Raven Indy game.
Well, you mentioned about the gloves. I wanted to kind of, you know, before it gets away, because you said something about Pitta mentioned that, you know, why he made that interception, because he was wearing gloves. And in this Indy game, we had a lot of dropped interceptions, didn't we? And if I recall, Eric Weddle was barehanded in this game.
It was
sloppy.
It's funny you brought that up, because I did bring this up on the radio. Towards the end of the game, he had his fingertips on the ball, and he couldn't bring it in. They said it was because he painted his beard white like Santa, and he was scratching his beard before that play happened, so his hands had the paint and stuff all
Stop.
Over it. I swear to
really?
God. I swear to you.
I don't want to make excuses for the bearded one, but seriously, that's what it was?
That's what they're saying.
Well, did Mosley and did the other guys, touch his beard, basically, because they had some butterfingers out there, too.
What do you think it was, the weather? I mean, it was a rainy
had
day,
to be.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it looked. Remember when Ray Lewis was wearing his bionic arm in the playoffs? It was kind of like that interception. Like, how many? I mean, we had 3 or 4 more. I mean, we're still leading the league in takeaways at 33. Now I feel like we had another 3 or 4, and probably put way more points on the board than we did if we'd capitalized on that, man. So I mean, you know, Mosley had one in his breadbasket. There was a couple tip balls. Kennedy almost had one. They were swarming the ball. I mean, still, they didn't really get the turnovers they liked, but they were still the defense, that bend not break mentality, and it ended up in a great win. I feel like, you know, everybody talks about the game and how the Ravens kind of played down to the Colts and was like, you know, well, it wasn't the dominating win, but again, you know, I sat there in the stands and I was like, dude, if they had capitalized on two of their drives, which Harbaugh acknowledged right away in the post-game press conference, he was like, I like the score there. We didn't, but we need to finish drives, and Flacco acknowledged it too. If they had finished two drives and gotten two touchdowns, it's 8 points on the board instead of a 23-16. What is it, like 31-32, 33-13? I mean, you're winning by 14, 17 points at that time. So you stretch it to another touchdown lead instead of a 7 to 10 point lead. So I figured the Ravens know it needs to be done, but it was a great resilient win of that, and it's a big W because it resounds big in the playoff picture than the loss.
Yeah, and Marty Morningwang did come out earlier this week and say, you know, when he should have went for the run, what it was like, what, he was in the red zone.
Third and one, and he did a stupid trip. So I'm like, yeah. What, you stop doing these gimmick plays. How many times does it mean you got to, you know, go back and forth on this? Screen passes and that kind of stuff in the NFL don't work. Maybe in the backyard in the sand lots. Maybe on the beach if you're playing football, maybe in the backyards, maybe in high school, some college, but pros, that has to be ripped out from the playbook. And I feel like the play calling was against suspect, and he's got to stop. I mean, you got to call a good game plan. You know, the player's got to execute, but then a lot of people are like, well, Joe can check out of that. Well, Joe's not going to. If it's a horrible call or if he sees something in defense, he might. But Joe's always been the kind of guy, I'm going to run the play call. You know, I trust the coaches, so, and that's his manager.
All right, so let's talk about this Breshad Perriman news. So Breshad Perriman, he actually was active this week. He caught a pass from Joe Flacco, and the crowd sarcastically cheered him for that. And Mike Wallace came out and said he didn't like that the fans did that and that the guy's going through a hard time and he's not getting the plays that he wanted. Did you hear this cheer for Breshad Perriman when he did it? Because, like, I got to admit, I probably would have done it because I thought it was funny. It probably wasn't the best thing to do at the time when a guy guy's already going through something, you know, difficult like that. It's probably not good to poke fun at him, but at the same time, like, the fans, this guy was our first round pick and he hasn't done anything in 3 years, so of course the fans are gonna be a little bit frustrated.
You just said it, Brandon. He's our first round pick and he hasn't done anything in 3 years. I think Mike Wallace is a moron for saying that. I mean, he can say what he wants. Everybody can say what they want. They can agree with it, but how many times you've been in an Orioles game and if the pitcher can't throw strikes and he throws ball after ball after ball and all of a sudden he throws a strike and there's a Bronx cheer from the crowd? That's sports. Mike Wallace needs to just shut up and play football. You know, Perriman, whether obviously we already know it's a jab, a sarcasm, because we know he can't catch. But I even said, I said, was that Breshad catching that? And he caught the second one. I cheered on the second one, like, because I didn't know who caught it. You know, I was like, oh, that's 11. Okay. And I'm like, then he did it again. The dude, whether it was sarcastic, obviously we know it was. You know, even if there was positive applause, like, hey, good job, buddy, do it again. This isn't no time for snowflakes. This isn't time for participation trophies. This isn't time for, hey, buddy, you got it, let's go. He's an NFL former first-round pick, and he sucks at his position. So the crowd can, you know, do what he want, but he has been performing. Mike Wallace himself has been outperforming his ranks. So Mike should take a seat on that and say, hey, you know what, dude, you deserve that cheer because even I'm outproducing you, and even Macklin's outproducing him, and I can tell you third and fourth stringers on many other teams that have way better stats than Breshad Perriman has in the last 3 years. So, he'd be the last pick I would ever, if he was the last pick in wide receivers, I'd be hesitant to do it. So, rightfully, he deserved it. You got to catch the ball. You got to play better. I mean, there's no time for softness in this league. It's what have you done for me lately league, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's caught after the year. It's just how I feel about it.
I wouldn't be surprised about that either. But I think that's pretty much it for the indie game. There are a lot of fans that were complaining that, you know, it should have been a more of a blowout. It shouldn't have been that close. You know, yeah, it could have been a better game, but a win is a win at this time of year. Joe still looks good. Joe's playing well. The offense still having some trouble in the red zone, but there's one more game before the playoffs.
That's right.
to fix that. So let's talk a little bit about that. So it's the last game of the season, the regular season. The Bengals are coming to town, and this is a big divisional game. The Bengals have a good chance here to play spoilers for the Ravens, because right now the Ravens are in charge of their own destiny. If they win, they're in. And the Bengals can definitely come into town this weekend and have some fun and screw that up for the Ravens. So what do the Ravens have to do this Sunday to make sure that that doesn't happen?
Well, they have to not to take the opponent lightly. Again, Suggs alluded to it in his weekly meetings with the media. Way different teams here than the teams that faced eons ago, it feels like, when the Bengals were shut out 20-0 in their own house with against the Ravens. The Ravens are I feel like they're a better team from that position. It's funny how the tables are reversed. Usually it's us ending in Cincinnati around this time of year, and usually, we began with them there, we end here. So it's a kind of a nice reverse fortune. And I feel like the Ravens, they know it's a divisional opponent. Again, they have nothing to play for other than, hey, let's try to see if we can knock out our division, fill out a playoffs. That's the only motivation. The other one's Marvin Lewis. Everybody's bringing that up, man, that, it's his last game, and the players want to get up for him. I don't see this being any more than it is. It's a last game for them in a regular season. They're probably like, okay, no stupid major injuries. I don't think, again, they're not going to bring the war like they did with the Steelers, and it's not going to be hit after hit in a bloodbath. I feel like the Bengals don't want any of that. I feel like they're going to play a hard game. They're not going to lay down for us, but the Ravens continue what they're doing. Strong running game. January Joe showing up where he's just been on fire lately, with the only mistake in Pittsburgh basically costing us there. But, I can get away with that. Five touchdowns, one interception over the last few games has been awesome. going forth from that, he's been mistake-free for the past few games. And now I feel like getting on board with the game plan and sticking to it, the Ravens got to get after it. Unleash the defense, letting them fly, knowing that, the Ravens have an advantage here, man. I feel like the Bengals are in trouble because if you look at the way it is, like you alluded to it, win and get in. How best of a scenario is it? Channing, if we win, we're in. The Ravens basically, and I don't know if you thought about this, but have you just noticed what's in front of the Ravens right now? They basically have a home playoff game this weekend. That's what it is. The Ravens win, they punch their ticket to the 12. Then they're in. They're in the postseason. They're among of the six AFC contending teams vying for the championship in Minneapolis. And they have the right to play for it. And you can complain all you want. You can complain how they didn't produce points in this game. They didn't stop the run in this game. They didn't stop the pass in this game. But if we're 10-6 playing in a wild card playoff game, all you haters can take a seat because they're in. So, the scenarios aren't like to cover them, but the Ravens can back in. They can lose the game essentially to the Bengals, and if the Titans or the Bills were to lose, the Ravens still get in. So there's three combinations that can happen. I don't want to play into that. I'd rather just say, let's just beat the snot out of the Bengals. Let's show the league and the AFC that we're a force. But to really get in, hone in on it, the Ravens really can't take for granted that, hey, we shut them out in the first week of the year. We got these guys now because they still got weapons. They don't have a few who are out or IR. But again, man, it's you don't want to become that trap game in the fourth quarter where you're playing behind 3 points or 7 points and have to giddy up to try to tie or to game winning drive. I don't want that. This team needs to be put down quick and put down early.
Yeah, absolutely, they do. And the Ravens, they need to. We need to see the Ravens do what they always do and come out. We can't see them coming out and having a slow start. They need to come out guns a-blazing and do everything they can to get this team off kilter from the start. So let's look at the injury report. So on Thursday, Jeremy Maclin, again, did not practice. So that is two straight weeks of him not practicing at all. Signs point to him not playing on Sunday after that injury he got in the Browns game. And then we had Austin Howard, Brandon Williams, Patrick Ricard, and Jermaine Illuminor as limited participants. So it looks like they're going to be playing. Mike Wallace was a full participant. So Jeremy Maclin missing a game again. We saw Harbaugh do this with Perryman a couple years ago. Oh, it's one practice. No need to worry. Oh, it's just a week of training camp. It's no need to worry. Oh, it's just the first game. No need to worry. Okay, he's out the full season. So when this all happened, they said, Maclin, this isn't a season-ending injury. He's okay. No need to worry. He'll be back. All right, now we got two games left of the season, and he didn't play in the last one. Doesn't look like he's playing in this one. What do they do if they're missing Maclin again this year? Or sorry, not this year, this game.
Well, what they're going to do is what they've already done. They maximize what they can do, and they brought up Adebayo from the practice squad and to the 53-man roster. So they're going to promote the ranks within and say, hey, you know, the old war cry in football, especially with the Ravens, is always next man up. You hear it. It's one of those overused cliches, but it's rightfully so because that's what happens. Someone gets hurt. All right, who's next? You know, let's plug and play and get them in there. But you know, when the Ravens are very good at knowing the player situations and filling in where they need to. And I feel like they found one with Chris Moore, especially with the inconsistency of Perryman not producing. And with the health of the team, I feel like, you know, they're putting the best players out there. And Chris Moore's been a great, great addition, man. I can't say enough about the guy. And I think Adebayo is going to provide a spark there. I know Campanera caught a touchdown on Saturday night. So Campanera's been there, man. He's been out there catching some balls. So they're going to use anybody. And, I mean, you look at it this way. When we didn't have a Macklin in Minnesota, Wallace went down with that injury. And he wanted to go back in. Our receivers were Griff, Whalen, and Campanera. Long are those days where we had to rely on them. So I feel like Macklin's missed. However, you know, how fragile he is, and I'm still – it's kind of like, you know, you don't hold grudges, but I think I'm still mad at the fact that, you know, he kind of used the sissy way out where it was like he got hurt, made the Ravens use their final time at Pittsburgh in there two plays later, and we couldn't use any of the clock. So I feel like, look, dude, you stay healthy or stay off the field. You know, right now it's playoff push time. If you're not 100%, stay off the field and get 100%. Don't get out there, get whacked, and get dinged up and go, oh, I'm hurt again. We'll go to the sideline and only play a quarter. You're not doing us any favors and you're wasting a spot. So, and who knows, we could waste an injury time out on you and it could be detrimental. So I feel like the Ravens, again, I don't want the team, you know, I don't know what his health is. I'm not a doctor, but you know, hey, you know, I'm the kind of guy, if he's not 100%, unless we're not vying for the championship, don't put him out there. But, you know, we'll see. I like to see him out there and produce. And get and remember, he scored his first Ravens touchdown as a against this team way long ago in week one. So I feel like, you know, anything helps. We signed him, we need him, but I'd rather have him healthy for a wild card round. If we can get past Cincinnati soundly and get it, I'd rather, you know, do this soundly with a home win, get him rested for that next week of football.
And this is a huge opportunity for Quincy Adebayo, because not only is Macklin out, so he could see some reps at the wide receiver position, but Jalen Hill is also out, and he's out for the rest of the season with an injury. So we could see Adebayo get some time on special teams. So really, he's got two spots to fill at this point, and he really could, you know, run away with a job maybe next year. So yes, there's only one game left of this season, but this game is huge for him.
Absolutely, especially if we can get a big comfortable lead and we can have players out there testing the waters. And you know, who knows, if we're up 20, 25, 30 points, you know, not to, you know, get ahead of ourselves there, but if we are in this fourth quarter, 6 minutes left, let the guys out there run around, sit some players, you know, rest them up, rightfully so. We did it, mission accomplished, we made the fifth seed, and let's march on to Kansas City, because we know that's our opponent if we take care of business. And the scenarios are like that. You know, the four seeds staying intact. The Chiefs aren't going anywhere. We win, we're automatically the fifth seed. So we're not going to drop to six. We're five. So the four is going to play to five. So we already know we punch our ticket. Kansas City is a destination, my friend, and we'll be out there in the Midwest battling for that right to go to the division round. But, you know, to really hone in on that, I feel like the way the games are and the way we evaluate talent, I feel like the Ravens do somewhat of a good job. I mean, we've had some stars up and coming through the ranks, and we have some guys in there go, what are you doing in there? You're bad. You're horrible. So I will hope the right combination is used, and I can't say this enough, but Marty's got to maximize the talent. I feel like a great ball coach takes his talent to the next level. It's not only the players elevating their game and elevating everybody else around them and making plays and all-star players, but you got to call the right plays. And I feel like if Adebayo is out there, whatever skill sets are, use them to advantage. You know, stretch the field with Mike Wallace. I felt like in that Colts game, because my vantage point up top, I felt like there was a lot of times where Mike Wallace was 1-on-1 and they were paying attention to him. And I feel like if the Ravens would have had other options and maybe did a hot route read and call on that, we would have had a couple big long touchdowns of Mike Wallace. And I feel like, you know, whether his sideline outburst, because he showed on the Jumbotron, he had a sour look on his face. I don't know if the radio got, you know, hold of that situation, but he said something about, you know, he made a career milestone and he was kind of looking all sour. I don't know if it was that Perryman situation or if he was just mad, because it was maybe one of those plays to where he literally stretched the middle of the field right down the seam and there was only a safety on him. And I'm like, dude, just throw it up to him. So I feel like the Ravens need to pay attention, not only for the upcoming players, but who's on the field currently, man. You got to use your weapons. And if Ben Watson get open, you know, I seen Max Williams mixed in there a little bit. It was good to see him in there. He got that second touchdown.
Yeah.
It was a great play call. It was a great play action call.
That was his Alex first Collins one of the season, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yep. And Alex Collins was getting involved. I mean, I feel like you just got to go. At this point, you got to let the horses out of the stables and let them run free. And at this point, we have to let it fly. And you can't hold anything back. You know, this is a do-or-die game yet. The Ravens have already said they've had a win, you know, win and get in next week mentality for the past few weeks. But, you know, even after a zero loss, you know, they hung with them. And national media is loving it right now. If you look all over NFL Network and Good Morning Football, they're loving the Ravens, saying we're the most feared, you know, of the contenders, because, you know, the Patriots, where, you know, we can hang with them. We haven't played them this year, but we've seen what we can do with the Steelers on the road. The Ravens, you know, the matchups, they have the ingredients. They have the defense, you know, top five defense. They have the running game. Flacco is looking like January Joe right now, man. The Ravens are playing great, great football. Winners of five out of the last six games. They lost the other game by 1 point to the Steelers, so we know what happened there. They had a big lead going into the fourth quarter, 11-point lead entering the fourth quarter in Heinz Field. So not too shabby, you know, for a team that's had its issues, had its health issues, IR issues, you know, from, you know, mini camps all the way through the regular season. And it all comes down to this. Win and get in, dude. I could not be more stinking excited right now. I mean, New Year's Eve, and speaking of that, I want to ask your opinion here, because now the time change, because I know you're not attending the game, but does it bother you as a fan? Does it go, okay, well, now I can't watch some of it because I don't know what plans you had? Were you like kind of moved by the time change, or did it not affect you at all personally in trying to tune into this game?
Well, yeah, that's good. That's something I was actually going to ask you.
I saw your notes, see?
Yeah. So the time change, I mean, I personally don't like the time change, because this is a holiday for a lot of people. So, like, if you're going downtown to celebrate New Year's, now you're going to be fighting people driving and trying to leave the city after the game. Or, like, parking is still going to be really expensive now, because you're not going to be able to find parking, because it's going to be people leaving the game at 8 o'clock at night. So, like, that's when a lot of stuff starts. And then there's also places, like bars and everything, that are doing, like, New Year's Eve specials, but now they're not showing the game because they're prepping for their big New Year's Eve party. For me personally, I would have much rather have done a 1 o'clock game. That way I had a little bit of a buffer before, you know, the New Year's activities were to start happening. And I know a lot of people that are giving up their tickets now because they said, look, I got a New Year's Eve party I got to go to at 8 o'clock. I got to make food for it. I'm never going to have time to do it. So, like, on a league side, I get it, because you don't want any team to be scoreboard watching and have that affect a different game. You want them all at the same time, so, like, nothing happens early on that affects games later. Okay, but if I'm a fan, like, if I'm you and I'm going to the game, I'm now worried about leaving. I'm worried about parking. I'm worried about drunk drivers on the road, besides just the game, just partiers. You know, it's New Year's Eve. That's a lot of stuff to take in. So, I mean, I don't think it's that smart to move it, especially on a holiday like that, but I get why they did it. I just think it was a bad move.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their two cents in this one, and I felt like, you know, Harbaugh kind of took the brunt of it for us and kind of expressed his feelings on our behalf. And it was brought up. It was great dialogue. You know, a few listeners were like, you know, well, I felt like Harbaugh, you know, really shouldn't have said that, or I feel like he's whiny a little bit. You know, he's been that in the past. You know, he has his moments where it's like, dude, stop complaining. You know, hold your guys accountable. But he does have good points to where it's like he brings some stuff up. Like, he always complains and everybody gets – who cares? But he always mentions it. And we had the home Monday night game. He's always been an advocate. We've had two home Monday night games since my tenure here in 08. And it's true. He's just stating facts, but it is true. We're always on the road on Monday night. I mean, we went to Monday night in Cleveland. What's that about? Why does Cleveland get a home Monday night game? They don't deserve anything. Dude, they're 0-15 right now. I mean, they shouldn't even have a primetime game in the next 10 years, as far as I'm concerned.
Do they go winless this year?
Pittsburgh ends up beating them, but I heard Pittsburgh is resting the starters. We already know Brown's out, but Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell is not playing, so they're resting. So Browns could easily get their elusive first win at the last week of the season. So, but it'll be by virtue of starter sitting. So it kind of like it's there's an asterisk there you can put there. It'll be like 1-15/16-0 What could have been, but or 0-16 I should say. But that's the nature of the beast. And Harbaugh brought that up. He was like, well, I feel for the fans because, you know, now – and he understands that. He has the same concerns you do. Well, people got plans, and it's rightfully so. But I've seen a mix. I've seen people that can't go already. Like, they've texted me, Facebook me, and they're like, no, I can't go now. They moved the game. And now I got people who are like, man, I'll snag them tickets. I'm going. I've gotten surprise phone calls that, hey, where are your tailgate? I'm going to game. I'm like, you're going? Like, sweet. Like, it's exciting, you know, and I can't wait. And I'm kind of like at this point – I can't worry about everybody else. As me attending the game and getting ingrained in this situation, you know, hey, you guys can come down, great. All the fans are going to come down, great. I don't care if people are going to start complaining about empty seats again or whatnot, and, you know, you're going to blame this and blame that again, and you know, the holiday. Yeah. Would it be ideal to have the game at 1 o'clock? It sure would, especially because it's going to be bone-chilling cold out, and with no sun, it's going to be even worse. But that's December football. You're December 31st in Baltimore. What do you expect? Get a coat on, get some layers on, go out to the game. You know, this isn't Florida, so we know it's coming. And it was a blessing that we got a home game last week, even though it did pour in the third quarter. It was in the mid-60s. It was great, man. It felt like a late spring night, man. It was great. So you have to take it as it comes. Could have been cold last week with rain. So you got to take the blessings, and figured Flacco said it. You know, of all the cold weather games we could have played, this is the coldest game. It's the last home game of the year. Suck it up for 3 hours, get out there and sit at the football game. I mean, I was in New England for the division around the playoffs in 2014, and it was 8 degrees at kickoff. So I've been cold. I've been out there. You know, I've when people were at the Mile High Miracle game in 2012, in the Super Bowl year, it was in the single digits there. So with wind chill near zero, and the Ravens suck it up, and Flacco even said, "Don't phase them." That's the last thing you're thinking about in the field. But it's gonna be cold. But I feel you with the game plans. To me, I was kind of indifferent because I knew with the game at one, I'm carpooling a few people, and you knew with traffic, and now with the holiday traffic coming in, who knows what that ordeal is going to be like. So you figured, oh, let's call it 2 hours for a traffic jam, you know, on a game day. So I knew I was going to get home to probably 6 or 7 o'clock as it was with the game at one. So I was kind of like keeping people at bay, like, I don't know if I'm going to make it here. I'm kind of just free balling at this point because I'm at hostage. By the time I get home from the game, I'll need to shower. I'm going to need to warm up, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's going to happen. I got a carpool. I got to bring people here. Because I think I'm driving at least 2 or 3 people. So I'm responsible for that. So then on top of that, now you move it to 4:30. Well, I'm probably not going to go home at 9 or 10 o'clock, and that's 2 hours for midnight. So I wouldn't be surprised if I do my tradition and end up by myself at a casino playing poker at midnight like I usually do, because, I mean, frankly, it's what I've been doing. You know, either everybody I know has got kids or they're doing their own thing, and I'm like, I don't want to end up doing these expensive parties. And I'm like, it's not, you know, I'm not doing that. So it's like, you know, I'd just be surprised to just go up there and just, you know, treat myself to a nice dinner and play a little poker, ring the new year, and then come home. So, but to me, nah, I'm all in it, man. This is the last home game of the season until September, or obviously August until we play preseason or stadium practices in July, as we know, in August. So it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while for the Ravens are back here, and I'm going to savor every moment. I told my friends, I'm getting to tailgate lots as early as I can so I can soak it all up. You can either join me or not. So I'm going to be there, man. But my new year is going to be a little different, but I look at it this way. As the craziest of the crazies, what better way to ring in a new year of celebrating a Ravens playoff berth at home, beating a divisional opponent, Cincinnati Bengals, Ravens going 10-6, and sending us to the playoffs. And there's a giveaway. I don't know if you saw it, but I posted it today. The Ravens, every fan who entering, are getting Ravens branded 2018 goggles or
glasses.
That's
cool. They light up.
So they're doing that. So it'll be pretty cool. I mean, you know, I'm just going to ring in it but the best way possible. But and Suggs alluded to it. Harbaugh also did. And kind of like I feel for it because it's, you know, it's sad. You know, you know. The Ravens did post an article, and people, of course, are always up in arms about anything that happens. But it's, you know, the Ravens were like, cancel your New Year's. It was titled something along the lines of like, cancel your plans, choose Ravens. And it was like, but it was more like, you know, there was a time where we didn't have to beg anybody to come to the stadium. I know there's a lot of various reasons why people choose not to come to games or watch anymore. And to each is their own. But you know, with that being said, it's like this is technically a home playoff game for the Ravens. Win and send them off to the playoffs. And we need all, you know, there was a time where every seat's filled and the whole stadium on defense standing up, full throat, yelling and screaming, you know, slapping hands for touchdowns and enjoying that. And now it's like, you know, it's scarce. You know, there's a few gaps here in seats and a few gaps there. So I feel like, you know, if you want a true home field advantage to send us to the playoffs and take advantage of it, you know, fans got to do the team a service. And, you know, I'm going to be there. Hope you guys are too, whoever can make it down. But I've seen tickets all over Facebook today at a discounted rate. So whoever wanting to go, there's pairs all over the place I've seen. So, you know, definitely jump on it if you're able to. I mean, I understand plans are plans and you can't break them if you're hosting parties. But, you know, you, if anything, if you don't really have nothing to do, Ravens game, stay downtown, go park somewhere, get a hotel booked, and enjoy the night in Baltimore, man, big time. It's going to be great.
Yeah, Baltimore does fireworks and all kinds of stuff at midnight. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. You know, just you know, stay by the harbor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to be down at the beach for New Year's, and that's my thing. Is like, I don't know who's showing the game now because everybody's parties start at 8 o'clock. So, you know.
I'm sure they will be. It's not like I mean, if they know.
Yeah, I can't go to Secrets or whatever to watch the game because they're going to be getting ready for their big rager for New Year's. So I'll find some place to watch it, but we'll see.
Green Turtle always have it.
Yeah. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview, the last one of 2017?
Man, I hate this last one of the season. Well, obviously, until we do the playoff Purple Friday preview, we'll definitely touch on that. And, no, I'm going to say a hearty quote the Raven, nevermore on that one, my friend.
All right. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just go over to Twitter and you can follow me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, I mean, there is a lot of noise. The Ravens are making a lot of noise. I posted up a tweet on our Facebook from Good Morning Football where they talk about the Ravens. And I think one of the stats was Joe's had one interception in the last like seven games he's played. So, I mean, they're watching the Ravens. You know, it's not just us. There's all over the place. The Ravens are making some noise, but the big thing is don't talk about it, you know, to a lot of people because the Ravens like to be the underdog. So let's keep that going. So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Don't forget to write us an iTunes review as well. Give us a 5-star review, because when the playoffs are happening, iTunes is going to post some shows up there on the main page, and we would love to be one of those shows, but we can only do that if you guys rate us some 5-star reviews, and 5 stars and then an actual review helps us out. So please go do that. Now, Josh, get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, it's been an incredible year, man, and it's just definitely been another great installment of a book and year with The Call and all of our listeners, new and old, man. We welcome all. And, you know, it's just so much fun to do, man. And it sucks that, you know, I'm going to talk to you in the offseason, but I want to try to see if we can do some, you know, a lot more special projects. I hate it when the offseason happens and then it just gets quiet around here, you know. I want to try to, you know, do a little more Call. How about that?
You know what? I was thinking the same thing. I don't want to, you know, I haven't talked to you about this, but I want to talk to some old school Baltimore Colts fans. You know, you and I are always talking about we didn't have the Colts. We don't know what it was like to lose them. I want to talk to some old Baltimoreans and figure and talk about what the team meant to the city before the Ravens were around. So I think I'm going to start.
Absolutely, man.
I'm going to look around to see if I can find some people that we can talk to. Like, guy at work I know was a part of the Baltimore Colts band. And we all know the history about the Baltimore Colts band.
We still have the ghost of them, obviously, as the Baltimore Marching Ravens.
That's right. The band that wouldn't die. Great documentary on ESPN about the band of the Colts. So, I mean, that's something I think we can get into.
Absolutely, man. And I feel like, you know, it's unique. And everybody's like always hates on the band, you know, while I'm there. And, you know, it's more seats the Ravens can sell. Obviously, now, you know, the joke's on them and they need to fill the current ones they have. Yeah, that's another story. But, you know, in retrospect, it kind of, for me, I guess I'm old school nostalgic. I like it because it's unique to the team, and it gives it the college feel. How many times you hear, you know, the band on college football when the band scores or the touch? There's a touchdown score and the band fires up and they show it on TV. I feel like it gives it the college atmosphere. So I think it's just
– And Harbaugh, you know, is all about the college atmosphere.
Of course he is, and it's in the Harbaugh blood. I mean, his brother is obviously at Michigan, prestigious school, and it's where they come from. And football is born and bred in their bloods. But, you know, and that's how I feel. I feel like – You know, it's the same thing with high school. It's the band. You know, the band performs halftime. It's the bands, the cheerleaders, and I feel like, you know, the Ravens have the complete package as far as a football ensemble. And I feel like now they went to natural grass, which is a blessing, and for football playing. And I feel like it's just all the ingredients. I really want to dive in and dissect that. You know, and just what I love, man. I love getting back to it. It has that Friday Night Lights feel, and that's kind of why maybe I'm excited for the game being at 4:30, because there's nothing better than – I just love a night game. I love – it reminds me of watching my cousin play football under the lights on Friday Night Lights when he was in high school, and every game was a night game. I never really got to see him play during the day, which is funny. Maybe one time on a Saturday afternoon, that's about it. But and I just love it, and that's kind of why I'm excited when I saw the time change. I was like, oh, great. You know, now it's another one under lights like it was last week on a Saturday night. And it just reminds you that. That's just the football guy in me, and I love it so much in the atmosphere. And now I wanted to touch on that too, because, you know, they kind of balance it out. You know, there's a lot of games at one. Everybody's like, well, why couldn't they move all the games at one or the other opponents at one and leave us at one? Well, I think the other guys were on at 4:30, and I think they just moved our game because of that. But it's almost evenly split. There's 16 games, 32 teams. Seven of the games are at 1 o'clock. Nine games are at 4:30, including the Titans game and the Bills game that have the impact on our playoff scenarios. And there's a lot of other teams there. You know, every other team that has to clinch, I think the Falcons game's on at 4:30. I think there's a lot of other games that have to happen, and I kind of like it. You know, it sucks from a fan standpoint. We already know logistics, but I kind of like it because now the Ravens are playing. Now, if we already know we're blowing them out by 20 points in the fourth quarter, we know we punch our ticket, but I don't want to create this drama. I don't want to jinx it either, but just to think about the drama if the game's closed and you're looking at, hey, where's the Titans score? Are they losing? Because if one of those teams fall, it doesn't matter if we lose by a last-second field goal or a touchdown. It's, hey, they lost and we back in, but who wants to back in the playoffs with a loss? It's just kind of – it kind of loses the luster. Yeah, you're in, but it's like – but we lost the game. So, you know, we'll talk about that and let the scenarios play out, but we know it's at stake. It's a Baltimore Ravens playoff game at home, basically. Why don't you get it fired up and excited, man? This is what it's all about. Ravens have an opportunity to get back to the playoffs for the first time in 3 years, and I'm just can't wait till Sunday. It's here, fired up on the holiday weekend again. It's going to be fantastic. Exiting the year, closing out 2017, and turning the page on the new year 2018, and how about waking up refreshed, or obviously sleeping in on a Monday morning and saying, hey, my team's in the playoffs, let's get ready for a playoff wildcard weekend next weekend, shall we? And have a feeling, me and you, we're going to be covering another Purple Friday preview playoff edition next Friday. We're going to get ready for it. How's that sound?
I hope so.
Dude, let's hope. Let's win. Let's get it on. Cincinnati and the Ravens, 4:30. Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high and make the playoffs.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.